celebrating homecoming today. Amen. So I'm going to try to deal with some of that. So it's good to see all of you that are here with us this morning. All right. Did you got your Bibles? Or if not, if you have your outline, hopefully most of you have the outline, and you can look on the rear of the outline, and you'll find the verses for the day coming from the English Standard Version of the Scripture. Amen. Let me read it for you out loud as you follow along silently. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. Yes. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning, our title, because we are beginning a new initiative, is the Be One, Make One Discipleship Initiative.
Okay.
All right, y'all see that on the outline? Say that with me. The Be One, Make One Discipleship Initiative. Amen. Amen. And we're going to get deeper into that, but let me just start by saying our homecoming day. This evening, let me look at it. I got it up here somewhere to tell you what our theme is, and that's because our theme kind of ties in with our message for this morning. We don't know what Pastor Cox is going to preach this evening, but we're going to say something about it. Our theme is, listen to this, Country on Purpose, a congregation invested in revitalized rural ministry.
Okay.
We're country
on purpose.
Amen.
Okay.
We're not country by default.
Right.
Yeah. We couldn't do too good. We couldn't make it in the city, so we had to come to the country. We're not country because we're second rate.
Amen.
Amen. We're not in this rural area because God said, well, they don't quite make it. So I can put them in an urban arena. But I want to tell you today that God put us in this rural area and made us country on purpose.
Right.
Amen. Because don't you realize it's seen in the country?
Amen.
Just like it's seen in the urban area.
Amen.
See, sometimes, you know, I think people think about country. They think about like Mayberry RSD. Where you never had a whole lot of sin. Other than Otis checking in every night. On Andy Griffith Show.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. So, but you can see a lot of stuff going on there. So sometimes people take my country. We know ain't much going on in the country. You know. But I want to tell you, hey, it's just as much drug
dealers.
Amen. Adultery. Selfishness.
Amen.
Materialism.
Amen.
Domestic abuse.
Amen.
Fornication and all the other things with it is just as much in rural areas as it is in urban. So God needs a church just as much in the country
And he does in the city.
Right.
You know the passage y'all quote sometime out of Deuteronomy where it's talking about we are blessed in the city, blessed in the field, we in the field.
Amen.
Amen. So God gonna bless us in the field. He needs a body of people in the field that can be a blessing.
Amen.
That's why I'm trying to tell you that Bethsaida, in all these years that Bethsaida has been in this rural community, Bethsaida is not here by default.
Right.
We're here because God strategically placed us here because he knows, amen, not only does the city deserve excellence in ministry,
but
the rural areas also deserve excellence in ministry.
Amen.
That's what we're about. We're about being excellent. We're about setting a pace, being a model, being an example of what rural ministries can do.
Right.
We're revitalizing it, bringing it back alive. Amen. Make it, bringing excellence back. Because rural ministry, you know, was strong when it was strong, when rural was strong, but kind of, you know, as everybody has migrated to the urban areas, we feel like, well, rural, you know, is second class. But we're going to change that idea.
All right.
Amen. We're going to change that idea. Amen. We don't want to be second to nobody. Amen.
Amen.
If God is our God, God deserves excellence.
Amen.
Now to the new initiative. So that's why we're here on purpose. And the purpose is stated, if you want to look at it in our vision, we've got a long statement right there, but I just want to look at one, our initiative, just one point. One little aspect of that vision where it says, making disciples. We talk about being a loving community who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. So I want to talk about be one, make one. What I want to talk about, be one, make, I never have enough room here. Be one, mean be a disciple, and make a disciple. The first thing, you can't make one until you
become one.
Y'all got it right. Sometimes I just think I should sit out there and y'all should preach to me. Amen. Hopefully, most of us can see this. Be one, make one. All right. Be one. Check that box off first. And then you can make one.
Okay.
And we're going to go into that in a little bit more detail. Okay? In just a moment. But first, I just want to go to the scripture. And look at that. Because I'm using the kind of general. We'll come back to that. We'll be on 3 John for about a couple of months from. If you know John, this is the same John that wrote the gospel of John. He also wrote, this is the John that wrote the book of Revelation. And he wrote the first, second, and third letters or epistles of John. In the Gospel of John, when John talks about himself, he usually doesn't say John, he says the disciple that Jesus loved. That's what he said. When he talked about himself, John said, he'll be describing something, and he'll say, the disciple that Jesus loved. Jesus' love for John stood out so much that he called himself the disciple that Jesus loved. And I want to tell you, that's not just true of John. But if you're a follower of Christ, that's true of all of us.
Right.
We can all call ourselves the disciple that Jesus loved. But it goes on to say, let me show you how much he loved me, John. Let me show you how much he loved me. You know, when we were having the Lord's Supper, And if I'm the one close with the Lord. Me and the Lord be like that.
Right.
I was close with my right there. And you remember when I was at the cross? And the Lord had to assign somebody to care for Mary.
Yeah.
We were like brothers. We were somewhere like brothers. He said, now, John, Mary's your mom. Mary, John is your son. So, John had experienced Christ's love in an intimate way. That's why I think every believer, and that's what we're going to try to do, we want every believer to experience God's love like John.
Amen.
Experience the love of Christ. That's what that whole series is going to be about. But listen, scripture, right? Because I want there's something particular I want you to look at. That was what from the beginning. He's talking about Christ. You know, if you know it's John writing, you think about what he said in the Gospel of John. We talk in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Amen. So this is the same John. With the same, he said that which was in the beginning. Now listen, everybody stay tuned. Which we have heard. Y'all see that? It's on the paper. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands. Okay, so he's talking about Christ now. And he said, first we heard. Okay. Now you can hear somebody from far away.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can hear somebody from far away. Then not only have we heard him, but this was a vision. We see why it's important later on. But we seen him with our own eyes. We've seen this Christ, this Jesus, with our own eyes. We looked upon him. And not only that, but we touched it.
Right. All right.
John, I was sitting with Jesus. I ate with him. I seen him chewing food.
That's personal.
Amen. I seen him sweat.
Yeah.
On long walks. All right. Amen. When we were going from town to town. I seen him. And the reason why this is important is because of some of the false teachers that's going to come in. And one reason why John wrote this letter, because they're going to say that Jesus wasn't actually you. But John said, oh, no. You don't understand. I done spent time with him. I know. I felt this union. I saw the tears. Amen. I saw the sweat. I seen him eat. I know he's you. I seen him do all the things that humans do. I had that close, amen. As I sit and learn from him, knowing he was human, I learned all the things about him. Now, look back at your outline. Talk about discipleship. Look under number one. First, you got B1 says, a disciple of Jesus. A disciple of Jesus who learned from him to be like him. John said, hey, when I was around him, the things I learned from him and about him, now I'm able to be like him. You got so a disciple is somebody that's around a person. Like Jesus says, and that's what the scripture says in Mark 3:14. Be sure to read that when you get on Mark 3:14. Because he said he chose his disciples to be with him.
Right.
And then after they were with him, he sent them. Y'all catch that?
Yeah.
Before he sent them. They were with him. When they were with him, be one. When he sent them, make one. Y'all with me? I lost anybody? Be one, sent one. Or be one, make one is the initiative. John did it. His disciples did it. He expects us to do it. Yes, he expects this rural congregation that's on 3422 Highway for West.
Amen.
To be a congregation that's involved in being one and
making one.
I'm challenging you to do something. I'm trying to be one. But not only to be one, because a lot of y'all are already one. But what about your make? Are you making one?
That's real.
All right, let's see.
Be one and then make one. So, John says, what did I do with this paper? I did that. Oh, okay. I need to get rid of that. I got too many things to put stuff on. All right. Verse 1. 1 John 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, is concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was the Father, was made manifest to us. Now, that's kind of like in the B1 category. Now, look at verse 3. That which we have seen, heard, we proclaim also to you. The same thing we seen, and we heard, and we touched. Now we're going to tell you about it.
Right.
Verse 1 and 2 is kind of talking about the B1. All right. Verse 3 and 4 is talking about the
Make one.
All right. Parents, all parents automatically qualify for this. Because you are responsible to be one as a parent and make one of your children.
Amen.
Be one. Parents, if you're not in that be one, make one, you're not living up to what Christ wants you to do. Disciple, the first person you need to disciple is your children. Well, I got to throw this in here. You know, I don't want to throw this in, man. I got to throw this in. Husbands. Amen. As leaders of your household, you are responsible for discipling your wife and children. Be one, you got to be one first. Before you make one, they got to see you. I wish I had it with me. They got to see you be one before. A lot of times, the reason why it's so hard for husbands and fathers to make one is because the wife and children haven't seen them. I don't need the women for that. I need the guys. Yeah, y'all gonna jump, amen. They need to see us be. And once they see us be one, I'm not talking about being a church member. I'm not talking about being at church. Because the problem is sometimes when they see us at church and being one at church, they see us as being something different at home. And we wonder why we can't make one. It's because they don't see a consistency in our lives for being one, both at church and at.
Yes.
Well, let's see. So that's what it is. Now, let me give you some little more techniques in this. All right. And that's why I got my little poster here. They're going to remake it, isn't it? Had a problem with the printer, but I think y'all got enough if y'all don't understand. All right, in this making one, I'm going to go to the making one. First thing about the first phase, first step of making one is gospel context.
Yes.
Y'all see that? Gospel context. Okay. Think of context as environment. If we want to make one, we got to have the right environment. And firstly, the first thing we have to do in that environment is to. Wait a minute, where's my other page? There must be a word. Got too many pages. All right, here we go. Do good works. Matthew 5. You know what we heard Sister Fran talking about? Be light, be salt and light. Do your good work for man that they might glorify God. As a church, listen, God put us in it. We got to create an environment in the community. Y'all listen. It's Bethsaida's, one of Bethsaida's responsibilities is to create an environment in the community of good works. Why do we do the things in the community? One reason we do the things in the community we do is because we are trying to make an environment of good works.
All right. Amen.
Because, listen, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Amen.
So before we can talk to them about Christ, about being a follower, about being a disciple of Christ, we first have to show them God's love.
Right.
Unconditionally.
Right.
Wherever they are, whatever stage they are in their life.
Amen. Amen.
I don't care where they are in their life. You got to show them God's love. Now, we're not showing them God's love just to get them to be a believer.
Right.
But that will be manipulation.
Right.
You know, I'm going to go out here and do a little good. And I need to get her to be a Christian. I need to get her to be a Christian. No, we do good because God is good and we're reflecting how good God is.
Amen.
We are doing good because we see somebody hungry and we remember when we were hungry.
Amen.
Somebody had to help us.
Amen.
We do good because we're seeing somebody else down and out and we remember when we were down and out.
Amen.
We are doing good because we see somebody else lost. And we remember
right.
when we were low.
Right.
We're doing good because we see somebody else incarcerated. And we remember why we ought to be incarcerated if we wasn't incarcerated. Oh, I wish I had a witness somewhere. I wish I had some somewhere. Amen. So because God is good, we want to bring here this environment of goodness so people can see how good God is. Why would you want to follow God unless you knew how good He was?
Right.
The only way they can see how good God is through us.
Right. Yeah.
Do good work. Do good work. Mm-hmm. On your job.
Amen.
In your community.
Amen.
People need to see God's goodness in your walk.
Amen.
In the way you live your life. Yeah. Amen. They need to see God's goodness. Not only do you do good works, but you be a good Samaritan. That if somebody need help, you be a neighbor.
Yeah. Right.
You know that story.
Yeah.
When Jesus was telling them, hey, about the great commandment, love the Lord your God with everything, heart, soul, mind, everything. You love God with everything. And then love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
And then a lawyer came up. You know how lawyers are.
Right.
Wait a minute, let me cross-examine you, Lord.
So what you're saying?
Who is my neighbor. He said that because he wanted to eliminate a whole lot of people. Is my neighbor just the one next door? On the next street? What about the one in the next town? And Jesus basically said, amen, using the illustration of the Samaritan, anybody that you come into contact with that needs God's love in action, that's your neighbor. You ought to be like Mr. Rogers. You ought to walk around like Mr. Rogers. Won't you be my neighbor? Amen. It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Amen. Everybody ought to be your neighbor. Anybody you can do good to. Amen. Because where the lawyer was trying to make the neighbor thing idea smaller, Jesus made it so large that you can't get around it.
Right.
Because he was a Samaritan. And if you were to ask the Jews, is a Samaritan your neighbor? Oh, no. We don't even go to Samaria. Matter of fact, we go on the other side of the lake.
We take a look.
We go up the other side, then we go up. so we can pass over them because we don't like that neighborhood. And then we come, after we pass them, we come back over to that side of the water. So, the Samaritan would be the last person that a Jewish person would think of as a neighbor. So in the question where the lawyer was trying to make the neighborhood smaller, Jesus makes it worldwide. Jesus said, anytime you got an opportunity to help and to show my love, that's your neighbor, wherever you may be. So be a good Samaritan. And lastly, be a good example. We're talking about Peter. You got to be. Now, good example does not. I didn't say perfect.
Right.
No, I put it down right. I didn't say perfect example. I said a good example.
Right.
A good example means you're making some progress.
Right.
Amen. I'm not perfect, but I ought to make some progress.
Right.
I ought not be. If you will be an example of what Christ did, how he changed your life. Don't be the same person in 2 years you was the first day you met Christ. In those 2 years, there ought to have been some progress. Don't be lying the same amount. Don't be cursing the same amount that you was on the first day you met Christ. Your sin ought to be, don't be the same selfish person you was. You ought to be less selfish. You got to be more kind, more gentle, have more self-control than on the first day.
Right.
You can understand that baby that was born is a few months old, spilling the food everywhere, that's another thing, but if they still doing the same thing at 25. If they still make the same, if they're still in the high chair and 25 with a bib on, something, unless they just got a little developmental disability, we understand that sometimes it happens. But other than that, if they're in their right mind and everything, they ought to be sit up in a regular chair. They don't need no sippy cup. They need a regular glass. They don't need no bib. Well, not even a bib. You never can tell. You need them some kind of ribs and rib juice. You might need a bib. Y'all understand what I'm saying, though? You need to grow. So that good example is wow. See, the good example will say, because if they knew you before, and they see you get changed, and now they see you coming, then you know, I can really believe. I can really believe that God can change lives.
They don't understand.
I knew how much.
Yeah.
You know, I knew how much you ever smoked before. Amen. I knew how much you ever drank before.
Yeah.
I know how many signs. I knew the side pieces they had before.
What you say?
Help me, Lord Jesus. Yeah, we're in the country, but it's in the city. Amen. In the cities in the country.
Amen.
So now they are seeing you say, no, I'm not going to live like I used to live.
Right.
I'm not going to live. There's a change in my people. Are busy. You don't have to tell people there's a change in your life. You don't have to tell folks there's a change in your life.
Right.
They are to
see
people don't want you telling them, oh, there's a change in my life. Are you more loving? Are you still just as angry? Do you see it get just as angry as you used to do?
That's real.
When you want to give somebody, you know.
Yeah.
Not
my whole
life. You ought not be that angry. You ought to have peace now. You ought to have peace.
Right, instead of giving a peace.
And it used to be a time when, you know, thing about it, you the time when it was raining in your life, when the situation wasn't kind of all crazy and messed up situation, and you couldn't handle the rain. Can't you stand the rain? But now, the Lord has changed you and saved you and changed from the inside out. Oh, you can rain. You can stand the rain. Because something on the inside of you, you know, even when it pours, he rains. He is still on the throne. It ought to be a difference in all of that. That love, that neighborliness, that difference that they see in your life is a context.
Right.
Of being one. You need that context. Because you can't get to the conversation unless you give the context.
Right.
It's the context that makes the conversation work.
Yeah. Right. Gotta set the environment.
If you're trying to, you can't tell.
That's good.
People need to see that. I don't care what kind of life they're living. Most times people know if they're right or wrong or whatever they believe. You just need to love them first.
So real.
Let them experience God's love.
So real.
And then ask God for an opportunity to get them in a gospel conversation where you tell them the good news.
Yes.
God, just give me a chance. Give me a chance to tell them the good news. I just want to tell them because they don't know how much I see them every day. They look so sad, down.
That's real.
God, and they're just about in tears. It seems like their life is so empty. Yeah. And I just want to tell them about somebody that can fill them up.
Well,
I just want to tell them where to find joy and love and acceptance. I've tried to demonstrate that, but now, God, I did all I can to set in the context, but now I need you to work and give me an opportunity to have a conversation with about Christ. You'll never be able to really get a good conversation if you ain't set the context.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
But they don't want to hear what you say.
That's right.
If you're worse than they are,
how
would they want to hear what you say?
Listen.
If I need financial advice,
my Lord.
If I would not go to a person who writes hot checks.
That's real.
I need a financial advisor, how you get yourself together financially. And they kicks.
That's real.
You can dribble with them. And I'm going to ask them for financial advice. I need somebody that got a little money in the bank, got investments. Amen. Able to pay the car note and thing. Amen. Able to loan you a little money.
Right.
Then I say, hey, man, you got it together like you're working out pretty good.
Right.
Then you can tell me. Because I'm looking at the content before I get into the conversation.
Right.
But now you got to have a conversation. Then there's three conversations, I think I did there. The woman at the well, y'all remember the woman at the well?
Yeah.
When Jesus talked to her, amen, she was broken.
Yeah.
Amen.
She was broken and needed healing. Everybody thought she was bad, but she wasn't really bad, she was broken. She was broken and needed healing. And everybody else who had a sign with, went in because she lived in Samaria. She lived in the hood of Samaria. Where nobody, where they built highways around.
Right.
Where they put, companies that would pollute the air.
Yeah.
In the hood. Amen. Where the streets weren't clean. And it doesn't seem like the trash man picked up all the trash and they got most of it.
Right.
Well, they put all the liquor stores and, and all the payday loan shops.
Yeah.
In the hood.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I had a witness in there.
Yeah.
Well, Everything is thrown for nobody cares about this place.
Yes.
Jesus said, I'm going to go there because there's somebody there that needs,
yes,
that's broken.
Yes.
He went to make one.
And she don't think nobody, she don't think nobody cares about it.
Yes.
So I need to go there because I need to give us some context about,
yeah,
this thing.
Yeah.
And tell, hey, I know she broke because she's been bringing that same water pot.
Yes.
She's been trying out, but every time she gets a drink, she gets thirsty again.
Yeah.
She's had five pitchers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she filled that bucket for five times.
Yeah. Still.
Now she's trying to fill it again, but that ain't the kind of water she needs.
Yeah.
She needs something that's going to last her.
Yeah.
Through thick and thin. She can only get that water, amen, from me. She can only really get what she needs from Christ. And he had that conversation with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the reason why I think the conversation was so good, because he broke boundaries.
Yeah.
He went where he had never went before.
Yeah.
And he did what tradition say you don't do.
Right.
Sometimes
right.
You got to get outside of tradition if you're going to be effective.
Because
the tradition was a Jewish man would not talk to a Samaritan woman. Oh, no, you don't talk to that. You don't even talk, most times a Jewish man won't talk to any woman. Let alone a Samaritan woman, we don't even have no dealings with it. So he had a great tradition. If you won't make one, I'm trying to tell you, sometimes you got to go and do things that are not traditionally done.
Right.
If Bethsaida is going to be a make one church, we have to go and do things that are not traditionally done. We got to break tradition.
Because
if we keep doing what we've always done, we'll always be where we are. We'll be where we've always been.
No doubt.
And this rural area cannot knees us to do things that we've never done before.
Amen.
Because sin is worse than it's ever been.
Amen.
Oh, amen. People are more broken than people need healing.
Yes. Amen.
We got to be a place, and that's what we are.
Yes.
We're not a museum.
Right.
Where you come to see what used to be. Amen.
Right.
A museum is, hey, you know, this is where it used to be. That's not, we're not a historical museum. They come and say, hey, this is the way we used to be. No, we are relevant. We got to be relevant today.
Right.
We are a hospital.
Amen.
For sick.
Amen.
We are, amen. We are an emergency that you can come to.
Right.
When
amen.
Your life is in shambles.
Amen.
With God's help, we can help you.
Yeah. I'm a witness. Amen.
Yeah, gospel conversation.
Amen.
Then goes on. Not only does it talk about the woman at the well, but in Ethiopia, that brother that was in the wilderness,
yeah,
trying to figure out what the Bible, we were reading about, he had been to church, okay, something about this thing sure sounds good, but I can't put it all together.
Yeah,
sometimes
yeah.
People want a better life, but they can't understand what the
right.
Bible is teaching them.
Right.
Amen. So it had to be somebody there who knows the Bible.
Break it down. Come on.
They can break it down for
yeah.
Him.
Yeah.
He said, I'm reading about this guy here, and it said he went to a slaughter. Yeah, he opened out his mouth. Wounded for our transgression, ruled for our iniquity. Who? Do you know who he talking about?
What man of man is this? Yeah.
And Philip.
Yeah.
Philip was out there on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Philip had left a revival. Oh, y'all. Philip was preaching a revival hundreds of folk get saved, and preacher, and it was good gathering, good at church, it had been good at church. And why did that church? Oh, he had the crowd at church. All of a sudden, God said, Philip, lead the crowd, go out into the wilderness.
Yeah.
You got to lead the gathering, go out for the scattering.
Yeah.
He said, lead the crowd, go out to the wilderness, because I got a brother from Africa.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish
yeah.
I had a witness
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
And maybe because he's African, you know, he's been around, he goes to the temple, but he can't go too far because, you know, he got to stay at the back of the temple.
Yeah.
I'm not making it up. He's a Gentile. He couldn't go to the Holy of Holies, the Holy of Holies. He had to stay in the Gentile part of the temple, and that was at the back of the temple. And he couldn't see out. Maybe because he couldn't get close up to heaven for somebody to speak to him.
Yeah.
Because everybody else on the inside. You in the back. He said, come on. But Philip, I want you to go. Because he thinks because he's in the Gentile section, he don't count.
Come on.
In the Gentile section.
Yeah.
Well, here go Philip and found this brother.
Yeah.
Out on a rural road.
Yeah. What? On the what road? Yeah.
You gotta go to the country. That's where he is. He's in the country. Yeah. He came from a city. He's in the country now.
Yeah.
And he needs somebody to explain to him how to meet Christ. How he can have Christ as Savior.
Yeah.
How he can have Christ as Lord.
Yeah.
And he meets him. And Peter opens the scripture and tells him that the person that was dying for him, the person that was suffering for him.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Christ
who
had died a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It was Jesus Christ who had died and paid the price for his sin. And if you would believe and put a trust in him, he could be saved. And once the brother understood, the brother said, all right, I understand this thing now. I'm going to be baptized right out here. He said, I'm ready to be baptized. And they found a little tank.
Yeah.
And they found a little tank in the pool. And they said, you ready to go down in the pool? Because they had to have something big enough to be dipped.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, you got to go off on a while. Now, if it would have been like, and I'm saying they don't make a difference if you saved or not. But, if you could have sprained him, you could have just got a little canteen and walked and stuff. You're all right. Got a little bottle of water and poured it on him. But no, they found the pool of water.
Right.
And they dipped him in the pool.
Because
he wanted to know everybody, hey, I'm following Christ now. So it's like, that's like, when you put a ring on it, I want everybody to know who I am.
Amen.
All right. And lastly, it's the Roman road. Roman road, every believer, we're going to go with it. That's one thing I'm going to go over last night, and we would have met last night. The Roman road to salvation, every Christian, every believer, you will have gospel come to you, the Roman road to hell, a Roman road to salvation. There's four scriptures, all are found in Rome.
Amen.
Right. Romans 3:23.
Yeah.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm saying to so many people when I be with them. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. From the pulpit to the barbecue pit. All have see and come short of the glory of God. Okay? And then I'll ask you now, once I show them that scripture in Romans 3:23, I say now. And I tell what sin is. Sin is, doing something bad. It's being less than what God would have you.
Yes.
Falling short of God's glory and quit. But I say, have you seen? I think now I know. Everybody that sees me once, then I will ask the person, if I ask you, see how I ask you? I didn't say I'm asking, I said, if I ask you, where you're sent? What would you say? I'm not, but if I ask you, where you're sent? What did you see at least one time?
Yeah.
Then I go to Romans. Then you go to Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin, that's what you get paid.
Yeah.
Wages is what you get paid. Ain't no matter explaining because you don't use wages too much. But wages is the paycheck. The paycheck you get for sin is death.
Right.
Death means you separated from God. There are two kinds of death. Spiritual death, you separate from God. Physical death, the spirit and soul separate from the body. This is talking about spiritual death. When people are separated from God, because sin separates the person from God. We're all born in that condition. We're all born separated from God. Unless we remedy that condition during our lifetime, we will die and for eternity be separated from God.
Amen.
The wages what you get paid for sin is death.
Oh,
which, one thing about it, I'm glad this verse is in it.
Right,
but
right.
The gift of God is eternal life. God, hey, man, have you ever had a gift? One time I was talking to this guy, you know, what he I was talking at the homeless meeting, and I was talking to this guy, and earlier I had gave him a pen, and I think I had to fill out some kind of, oh, we were in a prayer room. We had to have this kind of keep those who all came in the prayer room. So I gave him a pen. So I'm like, I was trying to read the scripture to him. I was trying to open up the scripture, but didn't have no glass. So, you know, I had to keep truth in prayer, because I was going to lose them a lot. So I gave him something, he had a prayer glass. And, you know, I got plenty of glass, I got in my Bible, you know, kind of about the dust. And so, you know, glass, you know, he read and then so we got to that 623. He said, you know, the gift of God is eternal life. And I said, you know, when you get a gift, say like the glass I give, it's a gift, you know. Well, now, why would I get that glass you pay for them, anything? That they actually do anything for them.
Right.
And that's what a gift is. If I ask you to pay for them, they wouldn't be a gift. There'd be something you got. Mm-hmm. Eternal life is a gift. You can't do nothing for it. People that's given to you become, God that gave it to you become, we love. He loves us. He gives us eternal life in His Son because we love. It's a gift. But you know, even like gave those glasses, you know, open up as a gift, but somebody had to pay for them.
Yeah.
So let's go to the next scripture. Not going to take no Romans 5:8. God commanded or demonstrated His love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wait a minute. Remember, penalty of sin, death, Christ died for us. He died for us. The reason why I can give you the gift is because He died. He paid for the gift. He paid for it on Calvary. That's what Calvary is all about. The gift was paid for. He paid for a gift. And He gives it to you if you just believe in it. Then we go to that last. And I see. Then y'all done heard this one before, because I see this all the time here. It's like, man, when you driving down up the world, going about 75.
Hold on.
And they down in the graveyard. Not in the good graveyard. They don't hide in the good graveyard. They hide in the other graveyard. Amen. And they see you come out, and they come out and stop and say, hey, know you speak? And I say, if you they don't know you don't look like nobody know you ain't. And you just drive like say, oh, you from South Dakota? Oh. I said, we let him go, we may not ever get our money. South Dakota, a long way away. Listen, you need to pay your fine, or we're not going to do anything about it. You're going to work it off. And you ain't got no money. You're broke. You spent your last money because you had to get a tie. Broke at the tie shop. And that's why you're kind of going fast, because when you got your tie, you lost time. So that's why you had to kind of speed it up. So you ain't got no money. So you got to go to jail. Unless you know somebody that loves you enough to pay your fine.
All right.
Jesus! Oh, I wish I had a witness in here.
Right,
anybody in here, and He would have paid your fine.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
He loved me enough that He went to Calvary Cross to pay my fine. When you pay your fine, you got a just judge.
Yeah.
See, now if you're an unjust judge, you still may end up in jail.
Yeah.
But God is a just judge.
Yes.
And when you pay your fine, it means you don't have to go to jail. When He paid my fine, and that's why I don't go to hell.
Amen.
Because He paid the fine for me.
Yeah.
On Calvary, He paid the fine for me. And then I think of that last verse. Romans 10:9. It is I shall confess with thy mouth. Now wait a minute. Confess with thy mouth. That don't mean you tell him everything you've done wrong.
Yeah.
Lord, yeah. I've done a whole lot of wrong. Yeah. And you just saw that from when you were a baby. Yeah. I threw the bottle at my mom. I wasn't really supposed to do that, but you know, I was a baby, Lord. But I was, and it got worse from there. It got worse from there. No, it did not If thou shalt confess thy sin, it's not the word it says. No. It says, if thou confess the Lord, Jesus, meaning, because confession means to agree with. If you agree with the idea that Jesus is Lord and you're not Lord, that Jesus is in control of your life and you're not in control of your life, that Jesus is the boss of your life and you're not the boss of your life, if you agree that Jesus is going to be your Lord, you're going to give up the CEO seat in your life. You're going to give it to Him.
If you believe that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Simple as that. And I said, do you believe? And he confessed with his mouth. Lord, yeah, I believe Jesus. Because I got to get him to confess with his mouth so they can go with the scripture. They said, you believe that in your heart? They go, oh, yeah, I believe that. Well, what does the scripture say? I don't want to tell you. Say, what does the scripture say about it? He said, "Thou shalt be saved."
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa! Yeah. He's the one that he took that Roman road. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9, and that Roman road had led him all the way to salvation.
Yeah.
Woo! He's a mighty good God. Amen. Some of y'all took the wrong. Some of y'all won't work. Works road is a wrong road.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Oh, I gotta get on. Then you get gospel conversion. Context, conversation. They listen to the conversation, they believe in the conversation. They believe in what Christ is, and they say, okay, I'm going with that. And they converted. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. You're born again. You're new. Then you get the gospel content. Now you're new. What are you supposed to be? It's like when, because you've been born again, but you're still a baby. You can't, I try to tell you, and none of y'all done this, but when that baby was born, you didn't know, say, okay, the baby's born now. Here, there you go. Giving them keys. We gonna go on to the house. Tell her the car, we gonna leave one of the cars in the parking lot for. Tell them we're going to the house, tell them we'll meet at the house. We'll do it again. Hey, Gabba, wake up. Y'all did all right for the girl. Just give her them keys. Amen. We going on to the house. What sense would that make? When a person is born again, then they have to have some content. There's a thing they have to learn about life.
Yeah, right.
And that's what those next verses are about. Learning about life. Giving them content. That's what John is talking about. John said, the stuff I learned when I was hanging around Jesus with Jesus, his disciples. Now I want to give that to other people. So that they can experience living love. I know how it feels to be loved by Jesus. But I want other people to know how it feels to be loved by God. I want them to also experience the joy of an intimate fellowship with God. I already know how good that is. And since I know how good that is, I want them to know how good it is. Woo!
Yes. Yeah.
When it's really good. When it's good to you, you want to share with somebody else. I was at the ice cream place. Baskin Rama. I was getting my friend Baskin Rama. So this girl said, hey, you tried that lemon custard? I said, no, I ain't trying to try that lemon custard. Boy, it's good. I'm ready to know today, but the next time I'm gonna try that lemon custard. So next time I went back, I said, I'm gonna try that lemon custard. I tried that lemon custard. It was good. It was good. So you know Jesus is good.
Yeah.
You need to share that with somebody.
Right.
I know how it is. I know how it feels to be loved. I know how it feels. I know how it feels to be sick to sleep. When you get to heal you of your issues, amen. Because all of us got issues, amen. He heals your issues. the same issues we got.
Right. That's real. That's real.
If we might have had it, but since we done got over it, we feel like you don't supposed to have it.
Yeah.
No. Because he's going to have different issues in our life and heal us from.
Right.
And he needs somebody to sit down.
Oh.
Let me find my stuff. I'm gonna keep it. If I keep up with my stuff. My stuff right there. So I really fall. Just like sometime I fall. Alright, here's my stuff. You need to teach them all things Jesus done taught. The apostle teaching in the way of God more accurately. Scripture stuff. But not just scripture stuff. You need to teach them in a way that they know scripture works.
Right. Right.
You know what I say? You know what the Bible says is? And then I give an example for my life.
Yeah.
All right. See, Bible says do this. This it don't make sense. Bible says, tithe. I don't have enough money to pay my bills after this. You want me to get 10% complete?
You know, I'm just like you. I don't have enough money to pay my bills.
But I get that 10%.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And God has made, God uses the other 90.
Right.
Don't you know God can do more with the 90 than left over than 100? Oh, then I give some examples.
Yeah.
I came through for a minute. There's different things, whatever it is. Whether it's marriage, we all have to have that. You know, one more verse, and I'm going to put you more. Number C, where it says, the way of God more accurately. That's Apollos. Apollos was learning. Apollos was a philosophical genius. And he had been baptized by John, because John baptized him to get rid of the Father Jesus. But he didn't know everything he needed to know. He was an eloquent speaker. But it was Aquila and Priscilla's.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, Apollos, we know you got all the degrees, you know, we had, boy, you were some kind of oracle. You can show and talk, man. I like the way you use little words and things. We learn a lot, but here is a critical position to pull them over.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's some other things I think you might need to, can you meet with me and my wife, Priscilla? Say that, can you meet with them a couple times a week? We want to go over scriptures with you, talk about what we learned from God, what we learned. And it said they taught him the truth more accurately.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's what I've been trying to get y'all. You know, when I'm talking about that B1 base one, I need to get y'all doing twos and threes.
Okay.
That's what it was. Because he said, wherever two or three are together.
Right.
See, y'all think God don't get good until you come to big church.
Uh-huh.
But I want to tell you, you didn't get two or three.
Yeah.
And God can get with two or three. Amen. Oh, so I mean, see, if you're going to be one and make one, you got to do some two or three.
Yeah.
You got to do some two or three where it's two or three of y'all, amen, getting coffee. Or getting lunch.
Right.
Or two or three of you hanging out bowling or in some situation. But we'll miss that situation. You're sharing with them the things that you've learned about Christ.
Right.
Because you're a little bit, it not mean that you're perfect, but you're a little bit further along in Christ. And Christ has showed you some things that they may not have understood before. So you got to give them a more accurate understanding of Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? How powerful twos and threes are.
Amen.
Because you can share things in twos and threes that you can't share at church.
That's real. Amen.
You can't share. I can't share some things that I share when I'm in a twos and threes situation that I can share with y'all. Because y'all stand themselves on the two of us. And y'all gossip a whole lot in church. So sometimes I'm like that too. When I'm in my two or three. When I'm two or three, because I trust the two or three.
Right. Come on down.
So I said, hey, two or three, y'all.
Come on down.
Oh, yeah, man, we all. I got news and I got to report it. Oh, Lord. But the two or three, everybody's been, hey, man, y'all broke. We all need healing. And even if you're the more mature person along the way, sometimes you learn from those that you're disciples.
Oh, that's for real. Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes those you're disciples, when you disciple somebody, you'll say stuff that you didn't know you had. Because God will give you stuff.
Amen. That's real.
You say, boy, that
just for that person.
Right. Yeah. You mean, you could admit it to yourself. But when you say it to somebody, you say, oh, I need to work on that too. Did that come out of my mouth?
That's real. Amen.
God gave me an answer out of my mouth that I've been looking for to come out of somebody else's mouth.
Right.
Because I was trying to share with somebody else and it got to me. Or somebody said, oh, yeah. So you learn from each other. Two to three. That's what disciples are made. Two to three. Be one, make one. You got to be willing. You have to ask God. Say, God, give me two and three. Give me two more. Give me one more.
Yeah.
That I can share with you. If God has done something in your life, special, give me one or two more. I want to share what you've done with for me and how you brought me with somebody else. I don't want to die with all this.
Amen.
I want to share with somebody else. That's a treasure.
Yeah.
You know when you talk about treasure and earthen vessels?
Yeah.
The earthen vessels is our messed up lives. But even in a messed up life, God can put a treasure.
Amen.
And that's not treasure. It's not just to make you rich, but
right.
That treasure is to make others' lives rich.
Yes,
bring wealth to other people's lives.
Yeah.
Y'all see what I'm saying?
Amen.
But I've been saying this a long time, y'all.
Amen.
But I want it to be something I'm saying. I want it to be an initiative that each of us work in.
Amen.
With God's help. Ask God, help me to fulfill this initiative. And as you pull into the two or three, because we got lines, like y'all line with one person, that's the one way of doing it. We got lines, where one person is speaking to the lines. We got circles. In a circle, everybody gets a chance to share something that's helpful. We got two and threes.
Okay.
All those are ways of making disciples. Be one, make one, or make two. Or make one is going to make one.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
We can do that. But you got to take the initiative. Lord, show me who I need to. And the Lord will show you who needs you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He'll show you who needs you. And when he shows you who needs you, you got to respect that person's confidentiality.
Yeah. Real.
You got to hold it on. And sometimes it almost slips. Oh, Lord, it's close, but he'll help you. Because you're not almost that you want to say it, but you're just trying. Sometimes you'll be talking to somebody else that's helpful, and you'll have questions, but you got to put that question in a way that you don't break the other person's confidentiality.
Yeah.
And the reason why we do all of this is because we're trying to get gospel conformity.
Yeah.
I got to say this one quick because I'm over an hour now. Gospel conformity means two things. And I think we go back to this and get further in. Number one, you're conform to his image. You are becoming more and more like Jesus. You are be conforming to his image. You are more and more like him. I want to be more like him. Oh, how I want to be like Jesus in my heart. Okay, now we need to put come out your heart and come into your life.
Right.
We need to come into your walk. We make you walk like Jesus and change kind of ideas, actions like Jesus. Secondly, but now, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But secondly, I think we want a lot of time, not only do we need to be conformed to his image, but we need to be conformed to his intimacy. What do you mean by that? The same kind of intimacy that Christ had with the Father. We need to have that kind of intimacy. That's what I'm talking about. When I say experiencing, that's where your joy comes from. Experiencing that intimate fellowship with God. That's where Christ's joy comes from.
Right.
think that's what hurt Christ the most when he was on the cross. Not the, you know, the nails in his hand, how much he was beaten, and all the physical torture, but for a moment, in order to pay for our sins, he lost the joy of the intimacy he had with fellowship with God. My God, why hast thou? I've experienced, throughout eternity, I've always experienced that intimacy. John said, you know, that's why I wasn't crying. We had the intimate thing going on. And it was such a joy to me. So now I want to share with others so they can have the same joy. I want to be like him. But also I want to have the same thing with the Father that he had. Some joy. Amen. You got to keep that. Keep that right. And when you go to the Spirit of God, it's going to show us how to come. If you fall from Christ, it's going to show you how to get more intimate, more intimate fellowship where you have greater joy. Mm-hmm. But when your joy comes from Him, stuff can happen and you still got joy. Mm-hmm. This joy that I had, the world didn't give it to you. Because I'm going to tell you, if the world gives it to you, the world will take it back. The world will give you a job and take it back. The world will give you funds and take them back. You can't trust the world. The world is an enemy of you. But the joy that I it ain't about this world. This thing that I got, it didn't come from this world. This thing I got came from a whole other world. Amen. Right. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And that's why the world can't take it away. Yeah. Well, who gave it to you? Nobody. Right. But Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus gave it to me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, I talk about talking back to him. Sometimes when this world and the devil start talking to you, you kind of losing your joy. You just need to tell the enemy, hey, this joy I have, you didn't give it to me, and you can't take it away. So even though my situation, my circumstance don't look good now, I'm going to praise God in it. Is there anybody here that will say to the devil this morning, hey, this joy I have, the world ain't giving to me. The world can't take away. And whatever happens, I'm going to praise God anyhow.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
Praise the man. Musicians are coming now. But I want you to be in your home where we are. That's the initiative. Listen, y'all. He's going to come, but I'm going to try. I know we go kind of overtime, way over time. But, you know, time is what God gives anyway.
Amen.
So listen here, wherever you are, if you really say, God, I want to take part and then be one, make one of this.
Yeah.
I want to be a follower of Christ and get others to follow Christ. I want to be one of his disciples and get others to be one of his disciples. I want to be a part of what the pastor is talking about. And a part of your design for the church. Amen. Well, it's rural area, I want to be a part of that. If you want to be a part of it, what I want to ask and what I want you to do is wherever you are this morning. If you can, when you just come forward, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. Pastor, pray for me. I want to be a part of what you're talking about. Pastor, I want to make a difference. Pastor, even though I'm in the country, but I think I'm here on purpose. That job I got, I'm in that job on purpose. The talent I have, you gave me no talent on purpose. The treasure, the little money I got, you gave me that little money on purpose. So I'm surrendering, amen. I want to do what you're calling me to do. I want to be in tune with the heavenly people. Put me in a coffin situation. Put me around a lot. Put me at supper, God. But then let me be a witness for you. Let me tell somebody else. Let me tell my children. Let me tell my friends. Let me be a disciple maker. I got to go on my job before I get my school. is working on me. I know I got a long way to go. But God, I want to be yours. Wow, yo, I want to see life change. You've given me so much joy and so much love. I want to share that joy and love with others. Father, oh great God, God of the entire vast universe, oh God, that sent us our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God, these have come. They came public. They didn't care what the angels were saying. They weren't worried about what nobody else is doing. They're not going to worry about what nobody else is doing. But they say, for me, Lord, for me. I want to be one and make one. This is by my neighbors. And where's my friend? Wherever you are, Lord, just, but I just need you to lead me, God. God, I already got somebody in my mind now that I need to help. I already got somebody in my mind now I need to pray about. I already got somebody in my mind now that I need to talk to. Somebody in my family, somebody in my neighborhood, somebody in my job, God. And I know their lives need to be changed. So they can experience the joy that I'm experiencing, God. So God, will you please help me? Please help me. To get aboard the be one, make one, initiative. Let me change. Let me be instrumental in you changing others' lives. God, I don't know everything, but teach them what they need to teach. So I can share with others. Oh God. Some may be saved. God, I don't have physical sense. Some might be saying, God, I don't know if I'm smart enough. Some, God, are saved. God, I'm too old and I can't do it. I can't get around like I used to. But God, we know you're able. You know you're able to use us still, God. And we thank you, God, for what you're going to do with them that are gathered around and committed themselves to doing it. And some of them going to do it on their team. Oh!